Blog Talk Radio.
Another exciting morning. The Lord has allowed us to rise and to be yet in the land of the living. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. I'm coming on just a little bit earlier today, but we've got an exciting lesson. And I'm just so excited to get you this information. Now, my name, I'm Maria Carey, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. I want to thank my co-host, who you will hear. She's coming. She'll be coming. And certainly, I know you enjoy her. Look for her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is none other than missionary evangelist or evangelist missionary Terry Rogers. I want to give some shout-outs to her. I always start with my announcements. Certainly, Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we will be back in September and want you to look for us. We will be conducting classes on the 1st and the 4th Tuesday, 6:30, via Blog Talk Radio. And certainly, if you're interested, I want you to give me a shout out or a text and let me know. Now, to everyone that's listening to this blog out there in radio land, I decree blessings upon you. If you have been blessed by this talk show, I need you to show some signs. I need you to reach out and to express that. You can express that via text, email, or comment, excuse me, on my lesson page, 309-750-7584. Or you can email me at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. Now, you can also tune in to my lesson link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com, Amazing Grace Ministries. or Amazing Grace Ministries, Destroying the Yokes of Bondage. And that's amazing. AmazingGraceMinistries. So please send me a shout out, send me a text, send me a go ahead on. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, I'm not asking for an offering. I'm just asking you to just tell me how this ministry, how these lessons have been a blessing to you. Has it destroyed the yokes of bondage on your life? Can you feel like you can move forward because you've heard something that has been said on this talk show that has blessed your soul? That's what I need. That's what I need to hear. I need you to open up and say, Dr. Caring, I have heard a word that has blessed me, either by Dr. Carey or Evangelist Rogers. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. So please give a shout out. Please let me know if this lesson, if this talk show has been a blessing unto you. We have had an exciting lesson. We have been talking about last couple of months, the fruits of the Spirit. Well, this month we have been talking about a new topic, and that is mind renewal. Mm-hmm. Do I really believe? If so, where's the proof? Now, last week we talked about faulty thinking. We talked about how you perceive, how you think. And certainly we are continuing in that framework. Today is the spiritual battlefield in the mind, transforming the mind. Now, we're going to get a little technical today. That's why I started a little bit earlier, because I need to express and talk about some framework of how our brains are set up, and that is naturally. So bear with me. Sit back. These lessons are designed to help you begin to think different and understand why you think the way you do. Okay, so let's read some scriptures, shall we? You know, we're going, first of all, with Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And this is the New King James Version. It says, living sacrifice to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Second verse, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, there's some notes. The first verse, when it says, I beseech you, the word can be translated to urge you, I encourage you. And then when it talks about reasonable service, it's just rational. It's just something you need to do. It's just reasonable. Mm-hmm. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3-5 reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And I want to thank all of you that have decided to be a part with me today. Thank you. We are currently in 2 Corinthians. I'm reading chapter 10, verses 3-5, and certainly these verses were also read on last week, and this is a continuation. This is part two of our lesson on last week. So when we look at the word, those verses in Corinthians, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought unto the captivity to the obedience of God. I'm going to hit you with two more scriptures. You can write these down, and in your study time, I would encourage you to also read them. It's 1 Timothy 4 and 1, and then there's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. And I'm reading some variations of the Bible, the books. In 1 Timothy, I'm going to read the Living Bible, which reads by, but the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some in the church will turn away from Christ and become eager followers of teachers with devil-inspired ideas. And certainly, we got a lot going on. We've got a lot of ideas in our society that are not God-driven. And we can see the signs of the time. 2 Timothy 2, as I forestated, verses 4 through 26 reads, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patience, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, one of the things I like about this version, this is the New King James Version, it talks about if God perhaps will grant them repentance. And certainly we've got a lot out here, and we're praying for our loved ones. We're praying for them to turn away from their wicked ways and repent and know God and the power of their salvation. And certainly once we, you know, I didn't do the intro, but one of the things that we're looking at in this month to understand how conforming to this world develops flesh patterns that can be overcome by renewing our minds through genuine repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. So as Christians, we are to repent on a daily basis, y'all. Every day. Every day. Every day, every day. So let's get into the word. On last week, we talked about strongholds. You know, we must recognize our strongholds and how they set up patterns. Now, I said last week that a stronghold is a flesh pattern, the flesh pattern that develops pathways in our brains. Certainly, those mental patterns of thoughts develop over time and form, and they're formed because of what our experiences in life have been, and they form. Now, if you're dealing with something for a 6-week issue, or, you know, say I play a game every Thursday and I just downloaded a new game on my phone. Okay, well, every Thursday, 6 weeks' time, I've been playing that game. Well, guess what? That game, after 6 weeks of playing it, has become a habit. Mm-hmm. That habit has become, in essence, a stronghold, because now I got to play that game on Thursday at 6 p.m. I hope you're understanding where I'm coming from. If not, I need you to reach out and say, Dr. Carey, give me some clarity, give me some understanding. Because I said earlier, this lesson is going to be challenging because I've got to get into the hardware or the mechanisms of the brain. So when we look at those strongholds, we are looking at any action that becomes habits, and those habits become strongholds. So as I said, those habits develop over a six-week time. And after 6 weeks, that buddy becomes a stronghold. So then that's why it's important to listen what is going on in your mind. Now, another thing, anger that is unresolved or not checked gets transformed onto others. So if somebody has hurt me or checked me or didn't treat me right, and I didn't deal with it then I'm going to be angry to some person or somebody else, maybe my kids, maybe somebody close to me. And forgiveness is the only way to resolve wounds. Okay. Now, you know, some time ago I did a lesson on forgiveness, and I will encourage you to really reach out and to listen to those lessons. I gave how to listen to my show earlier, but I will give it to you again, blogtalkradio.com/AmazingGraceMinistries or Amazing Grace Ministries, Destroying the Yokes of Bondage. And amazing is AmazeN, not ING. So when you put that in the search engine, that's how you come up with my blogs. And it's on forgiveness, and next week I can also have that for you, because it is so important to forgive others, those that have harmed us, those that have wronged us, those that didn't treat us right. And it's not for their forgiveness, it's not for them that we forgive, but it's for ourselves. It is for us to forgive, because those hurts, those wounds become strongholds. They become patterns of behavior that begins to be stuck in our spirit man that formulates soul issues. Now let's talk about the battle. Let's talk about the battle. And I said, and I keep saying, please work with me here, that this lesson is loaded. Now I want you to think of the correlation between outer and the inner self in our brains. Now, I want you to look at a circle, a round circle. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to look at this circle. It's a round circle with four layers. Now, that first circle, that first layer is which the brain, we have our body, and in that body is the brain. And the brain operates in four areas. You got the central nervous system, you got the autonomic nervous system, automatic nervous system, you've got the somatic nervous system, and then you got the peripheral nervous system. Now, the central nervous system, that is, controls our entire body. It's the brain and the spinal cord. Now, you need to know these things, because I'm going to tell you what the second level of the brain is. And I'll just give you a little taste. It's the mind, will, and the emotions. But don't leave me yet. So when you get to the autonomic nervous system, that is part of the nervous system that controls our breathing, our heartbeat, our digestive system. And then there is the somatic nervous system. This controls the information. Now, there are two neurons, that the sensory neuron and the motor neuron. And these two neurons, and you know, we thank God for the way he has made us. And certainly God has made us in his own image. He's made us, and certainly we have got the sciences to he's created the scientists to show us what's going on within our systems and how he has created us. And he has created us in such a way that we our body parts can be complex, but they work all together to formulate how we operate, how we deal. Now, those neurons carry information from the nerves to the central nervous system. It runs the fibers and it controls the muscle fibers. It controls our spinal cord. It controls our operation, how we move, how we function, how we deal, how our body operates, our skin, our senses, our organs, our muscles. Now, I want you to begin to see all this. You know, can you see how God has made us, how we are created, and how God has made us wonderful beings, that we are intellectual beings, that God has made us able to think, to understand, to give advice, to create, to be outstanding, hallelujah, with the power and the authority of God. And that's so why it's important for us, when we have been harmed or when we have been hurt, to get to deal effectively with those hurts and put them on the altar and let the Lord deal with us and let the Lord begin to help us to forgive. Because forgiveness, to forgive somebody, is not an easy thing, especially when that person has abused you, especially when you're dealing with a mother that has lost their child due to gun violence. And at the same time, the Lord is saying, you need to forgive. You need to forgive that person. Well, that does not come easy. But the Holy Spirit, the power arm of God, helps and delivers and holds that person up and allows you to work through it and allows this body to heal. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you're looking at this circle. Now, I told you the outer circle has all these nervous systems, and then the peripheral nervous system, and that works outside. Hallelujah, that brain and that spinal cord. It carries those sensory motions. So you have all of this going on. You have part of the brain operating our minds, operating our systems, our how we operate, our motor system, our thinking, our functioning. So I said the second layer is that, pray the Lord, had to do something on the computer. But that second layer is our mind, emotions, and will. Now, that second layer has some correlations with those nervous systems. Now, that mind is going to operate out that central nervous system. Now, let me let you think about this. Now, our brain and our mind are two different things. What you talking about, Dr. Carey? Our brain. Think of the brain as the hardware that houses the mind. And it's like a computer. So the computer cannot operate, or that phone cannot operate, without being programmed. And the mind is the software that programs that brain. So I'm going to break it down to you again. The brain is the hardware, and the mind is the software, and that brain cannot function any other way than the way it's programmed. So that's why I was taking the time to let you see the outer layers, that central nervous system, that autonomic nervous system, that somatic nervous system, and that peripheral nervous system. Now, the mind operates on the central nervous system. Now, when it says central, that's central because that's your brain and your spinal cord. But then you got the autonomic nervous system. Guess what? Guess what function and operates through that particular nervous system? It's your emotions. It's your emotions. Now, your will operates on the somatic and the peripheral nervous system, that running information back and forth. So you begin to see how that brain is layered, how we operate in certain areas and move in certain capacities. On last week, I told you that about faulty thinking, about cognitive distortions, about how we perceive stuff. And if you perceive false information, then that's what you're going to operate on. If Satan tells you a lie about you're stupid and you're dumb and you can't function, and you believe that lie, then guess what? You're going to operate out that lie. And that wasn't a thought that God had given you, but that was the enemy telling you stuff, because the enemy is a deceiver of us. He tells us a bunch of garbage, and we believe that stuff. So this month, we are going to stop believing all the hype that Satan is trying to tell us, and we're going to stand on the word of God, and we're going to know that that inner circle, now that third circle is a new heart. Now the center of that fourth layer of that circle is Christ. Christ, a new heart in Christ Jesus, who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can think. And when we understand that the thoughts that are being presented to us are thoughts that are lies. Now, how does all of this work, Dr. Carey? Since you ask, I'm going to tell you. Now, we are shaped not only by the emotional events that happen, but how we perceive our environment or the perception of it. Those life events that happen do not determine our emotional response or what the mind tells us or what the brain tells us to do. So how we mentally interpret events in our lives causes a emotional response. That's why I wanted you to get all those nervous systems, all those neurons. And, you know, there I talk about trauma. I do this in my my school of ministries, and certainly some of you have been fortunate to know and to been a part of my school of ministry classes. My background is in mental health. I continue to study in order to understand how we are made in God's image, and how emotionally, how we perceive our thoughts and our issues and our mind, and how we work together, and how this word impacts how we deal, how we function. So in essence, because my background is in mental health, I try to help and understand the patterns of why people do and behave the way they do. And sometimes we don't even understand why we behave and act the way we do. And that's why I'm trying to give you clarity on the brain and the nervous and these nervous systems. Because all of them are impacting our motion, all of them impacting our movement, all of them impacting how we function. So when you get to the mind, the will, and the emotions, then that's the software that we begin to function out of when we are impacted on a daily basis with one, the activating events. And these activating events are what we see. You know, a little while ago I talked about gateways and senses, and when we look at our hearing and our vision. And I think I talked about that last week. Those are gateways, and those gateways allow information to come in. And that information that comes in moment by moment, experiences, whether or not we've been abused, neglect, traumatic events, all of that affects us. And believe it or not, dears, looking at the news 24/7, looking at the violence, looking at what's going on, looking at the streets of Chicago affects you, because it develops patterns in your mind and emotional patterns in your mind that says, I can't go out because I'm scared to go out. But then God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and a sound mind. So what you're looking at is beginning to affect your actions, which brings us down to two, which is being the mental evaluation. And I'm talking about how events that we see, that we experience in our lives, determines our emotional response. And I want to get that clear, because I'm moving kind of fast and I want clarity on this. So emotional response is one, activating event. So we see it. It has happened. Now we take a mental evaluation, and I thank God for those that have heard me and those that got to go. I thank God for you. So we take a mental evaluation. So to look at what we think and believe about A, that activating event. So A, we study it, we take an evaluation, and we move on to C, which is our emotional response. And that is how we react to the evaluation we have made of one. So now, cause and effect. My thoughts then carry out the actions of the misinformation that I perceive to be true. So when we talk about 1 Timothy 4:1, when we talk about deceiving spirits, when we talk about followers of teachers of devil-inspired ideas, and, you know, we look at that and say, well, I'm not doing that. I mean, I'm in a good church. I'm in a good environment. I'm not following any teachers that is deceitful. But let's look at the news. Let's look at First Psalms, when it tells us not to take our own counsel. And we take our own counsel on a daily basis. So we are, in essence, we're taking false information and believing that information to be truthful. And we are being deceived. We're being deceived by politicians. We're being deceived by the news. We're being deceived by all these events that surround us. So when you look at that, because Satan is a deceiver and makes lies look truthful, we need to understand our own thoughts. We need to understand, and we need to stand on the word of God. We need to understand that those thoughts, or the schemes that Satan has for us, will produce information that will make us see the falsehood that he's presenting to us as truthful. And then, hallelujah, and then we will react to that information as if it is true. Okay? So let's go on. So unforgiveness, I talked about unforgiveness. This emotion causes those schemes. And let me, Noema, is the Greek word for thoughts. And when you look at schemes, when you look at the issue of harboring unforgiveness, as 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 11 talks about, that takes up the wrong world and leads us down the road to bitterness. It says, when you forgive this man, I forgave him too. And when I forgive, whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit. So that Satan would not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes or faults. So the enemy will present itself with stuff and falsehoods that we will believe is true. There's two sides to anything, to everything. When we look at the news, they give you one side. They tell you they're there to give the news. You can rarely see the news giving something of good report. But the Bible says in Philippians, and I'm going to come on down to Philippians. I've got some more scriptures, but the time is winding up. So get 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, and let me read these. It says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only for people who are perishing. So, you know, when we look at all of this, Satan blinds the mind of the believers. And those of us that are in Christ Jesus, he will deceive us. So if we don't have our thoughts planted fully on the Word of God, he is able to lead people away. He is able to really be able to cause people to believe lies. And in believing lies, they are led away. I understand that we're living in the last days. I understand that these are perilous times. I understand that Christ is on the way back. But we still need to pray for our young people. We still can stand up and declare the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ and to tell his dying world it's holiness. It is holiness, it is holiness, it is heaven and it is heaven or hell. You know, you don't see that word preached that much anymore. You don't see a hell message. You don't see a hell and brimstone message, but it's holiness or hell. And if you don't live right, if you don't live on the Bible, then if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then hell is your destination. And I thank God he's allowed me to put it on the television or this radio station. It's not television, it's radio. Praise the Lord. So if somebody hear this message, hear this word, and understand that it is holiness of hell. If you leave here and you haven't accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, then hell you're bound. And we look at everything that's going on. We look at the looting that happened downtown Chicago. We look at the police, and these are systems that are not saved. These are systems that need the Lord's intervention. Even the election needs God's intervention. We are to pray. We are to fast. We are to seek the Lord, and we are to stand on God's word. Hallelujah. I got more, but I'm not going to be able to get to it. So when we look at deceptions of the battlefield, and we look at what we're dealing with, and when we see Romans 12:2, it says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you stand on the truth. You don't believe the lies of this world. This flesh is aligned with Satan, and because it's aligned with Satan, it's aligned with sin. And because of that, we have to understand and we have to prepare our minds for action. So when 1 Peter 1:13 states a call to live holy living, and I got, see, I'm moving for you. The Spirit of the Lord is just moving and causing this to come out. It says, so prepare your mind for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the glorious salvation that was come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the earth. So when we look at Philippians, and I'm going to end with Philippians, and I'm going to read chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, and this is the New King James Version. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ." Meditate on these things. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We are called to dispel the darkness, and we are called to turn on the light. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the word. I thank you, God, for those individuals that have been on the line that have heard this word. I pray, God, that something have been said, that they may use, that they may understand, and that they may be encouraged by this word. I pray, God, that you touch each and every one. If there's any sick among me, Father God, I declare healing. I declare salvation in the name of Jesus. God, you said by your stripes we're healed. And I declare by the authority that you've given to me as the pastor, as the minister, as the guardian of this airway show. God, I pray right now by the Holy Spirit, who has given me that authority to speak into the lives of your people, that you will heal, that you will allow them to understand how to perceive the information that they are seeing, and God, that they may stand on your word, and when standing on your word and when they take a mental evaluation of the events that have transpired in their lives and they stand on the word, and when they give it or they stand on your word and they apply the word to those events, then God, you can give them an emotional response that is centered on the word of God. And we thank you, God, for centering us on the word of God. Therefore, we take steps to guard our minds. We take steps to guard our hearts. We take steps to forgive those that have wrongly harmed us. And we stand with authority and we put the arm upon us and we declare the salvation of the Lord. And first of all, God, we repent of all our sins, all of our filthy, our faulty thinking in the name of Jesus, thinking. And we declare that we stand on the word of God and we will think those things that are of God, those things that have good report. We will think on those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Certainly, I have asked that you send me a text or email me if this lesson has been a blessing to you. I need to hear you out there. I need to know that you feel like this lesson, these lessons have been a blessing, that you understanding, that you get it. You can text me at 309-750-7584. You can email me at amazing, AMAZEN, Grace, GRACE, Ministries, MINISTRIES, at gmail.com. You can also listen and comment on any of the lessons that I have taught in the past, and even missionary or evangelist Terry Rogers, any of her lessons. And you can find me at www.blogtalkradio.com/AmazingGraceMinistries or Amazing Grace Ministries, Destroying the Yokes of Bondage. We're there. You can listen to any of our lessons. You can even listen to the School of Ministry lessons. Certainly, I want to hear from you. If we've been a blessing, certainly reach out. In Jesus' name I pray. Be blessed. Bye-bye.